What if I told you that a loan developer managed to basically reverse engineer millions of dollars of corporate AI research and development?
Oh, and not just that, they did it in exactly 72 hours.
Right, 72 hours. And the best part is, you can install the result for absolutely free right now.
It's honestly mind-blowing.
It really is. So
Yeah.
if you've ever tried to scale an AI design workflow, you already know the absolute frustration of hitting an artificial ceiling, right?
Yeah.
Just when you're finally getting into that flow state.
Oh, yeah. The dreaded rate limit error.
Exactly. Well, welcome to today's deep dive. I'm your host, and I'm super excited to dig into this with our resident AI expert.
Hey, everyone. Great to be here.
Today, we are unpacking a head-to-head review by Linda Henderson over at popularatools.ai. Because, I mean, the tension in the developer world right now is palpable.
Oh, absolutely. It's all anyone is talking about.
Right. Everyone is just entirely obsessed with Claude design. It launched on April 17th, 2026, to this massive fanfare.
And rightfully so, to be fair. It's incredible.
It is visually stunning, undeniably powerful. But, as we're going to discuss, it is fundamentally flawed in a way that is just driving developers crazy.
Yeah, and that specific flaw is exactly what created this massive vacuum in the market literally overnight. We are looking at a classic David and Goliath scenario here.
I love those. Set the stage for us.
Okay, so on one side, you have Claude Design, the premium heavyweight, right? Massive corporate backing. On the other side, you have this open source challenger called Huashu Design.
Which kind of just materialized out of thin air, right?
Pretty much. It wrapped up something like 7,300 GitHub stars in a single week.
That is absurd growth for a niche developer tool.
It really is. So our mission for this deep dive is to figure out if this free terminal-based skill can actually beat a heavily funded graphical AI tool at its own game. And, look at how you can actually use it in your own workflows.
Yeah, I want to get into the nitty-gritty of that later, but before we even look at the challenger, we really need to map out the bottleneck that caused this user revolt in the first place.
Right, because the issue with Claude Design isn't the quality.
No, not at all. The quality is exceptional. Like, it's gorgeous. The bottleneck is strictly the usage limits.
Yeah, it operates on this totally separate, aggressively capped design quota. It sits entirely apart from your standard token usage.
Which is so frustrating.
Tell me about it. Even if you are paying for Anthropic's top-tier 20x plan, which, by the way, sets you back $200 a month, the constraints are incredibly severe.
Right, 200 bucks is not cheap for a solo dev.
No, it's not. And you can easily burn through like 15% of your entire weekly design capacity in under an hour.
Wait, 15% in an hour? Just doing what?
Just generating three landing page variants.
Oh man, that is brutal. I want to break down the math from Henderson's source article here because it perfectly illustrates what she calls the one project trap.
Oh, yeah, this map is eye-opening.
It really is. So imagine you sit down on a Monday morning to handle one single full project. First, you generate your initial variants. Boom, that eats up about 10% of your usage.
Right, just getting started.
Exactly. Then you ask it to expand and maybe tweak one of those variants.
Yeah.
Add another 5%. Next, you realize you need a design system to keep things consistent across future pages.
Which is a standard workflow.
Totally standard. So you lock that in. But that single action eats a massive 30% of your weekly budget.
Wow.
I know. And finally, you generate a quick slide deck for the client pitch, taking another 6%.
So if you add all that up, a single standard project consumes roughly 51% of your entire weekly budget.
Half your week gone by Monday afternoon.
Yeah, it's wild.
I mean, think about it like this. Imagine you finally get the keys to your absolute dream car, right?
I'm with you.
$1 million hyper-engineered sports car. You sit in the driver's seat, the engine is purring, the digital dashboard lights up, and then the dealer leans in, taps the glass, and says, "Oh, by the way, you're only allowed to buy 1 gallon of gas a week."
That is the perfect analogy. You wouldn't take it out on the open road.
No, you would be rationing your joyrides.
Yeah.
And that is what is happening here. It forces developers to stop experimenting.
Because you're terrified of hitting the cap.
Exactly. You stop playing around with wild ideas and you start rationing your creativity, just constantly checking the fuel gauge. And honestly, that entirely defeats the purpose of AI-assisted design.
Right, because AI design is supposed to be about rapid, fearless iteration.
Precisely.
And, rationing creativity is basically a developer's worst nightmare. When a bottleneck like that exists in software, the open source community will inherently route around it. It's just what they do.
Nature finds a way.
Exactly. And that brings us to Huashu Design, which completely bypasses the usage limit problem.
So who actually made this?
The creator is a Chinese developer known as Wu, or Huasheng. He goes by Alchain online, and he has over 300,000 followers across his platforms.
Okay, so he's pretty established.
Very much so. And the crazy part, he released Huashu Design just 3 days after Claude Design launched.
3 days? I mean, that speed of execution is almost as impressive as the installation method itself.
It really is fast.
I'm looking at the documentation here from the article, and it's not some bulky standalone desktop app, right?
No, yeah.
It's a 2-second install using a simple command. You just type npx skills add Alchains of Huashu Design.
That's it. One line in the terminal.
Looking at that command, since it runs natively inside coding environments like Cursor or Codex or Claude Code, it must just be using standard API tokens, right? Rather than Anthropic's proprietary UI wrapper.
You hit the nail on the head. Token routing is the entire foundation of why this works.
Okay, break that down for me.
Think of it like using the employee backdoor. Claude Design charges you a premium cover charge to use the fancy front door, you know, the polished graphical user interface.
Right, the pretty canvas.
Exactly. But by packaging Huashu Design as a skill using that skill.md format, it essentially walks around to the API backdoor.
Sneaky. I love it.
It operates inside your existing coding agent, utilizing standard wholesale token rates, so it completely ignores that aggressively capped separate design quota.
Because the system just sees it as regular code generation.
Exactly. To the API, you're just writing code.
Okay, but I have to push back here a little bit.
Sure, go ahead.
I am struggling to see how a text-based terminal replaces a visual canvas. Because, I mean, design is inherently visual, right?
Yeah, that is the most common critique, yeah.
If I am in a terminal, I can't click a button, I can't drag a slider, I can't manually adjust padding with my mouse. Haven't we taken a massive step backward
right.
by stripping away the GUI?
I hear you. And yes, you do lose the manual drag and drop, but you're replacing manual tweaking with algorithmic precision.
Algorithmic precision. That sounds like a buzzword. Explain.
Fair enough. Well, Huashu isn't just a basic system prompt disguised as a tool. Under the hood, it packs 20 deep dive markdown files.
Wow, 20.
Yeah. And these files act as a highly compressed foundational design education for the language model.
What kind of education are we talking about?
They explicitly define animation best practices, very specific layout philosophies, structural hierarchies. You aren't just asking the AI to draw something and hoping for the best.
Yeah.
You are loading a state machine with the strict, unbending rules of good design.
Oh, I see. So instead of letting the LLM guess what looks good, you're basically hard-coding the constraints of a senior designer right into the context window.
Exactly. It's opinionated software.
But how does it handle brand consistency? That's always my biggest issue. If I tell an LLM to, you know, make it look like my brand, it usually hallucinates hex codes that are just slightly off.
Yeah.
It drives me crazy.
Oh, the slightly wrong blue problem. Yeah, Huashu solves that with something it calls a brand asset protocol.
Brand asset protocol. Sounds fancy.
It's actually brilliant. When it needs to match a brand, it doesn't rely on the LLM's latent memory to guess colors or typography.
Thank goodness.
It actually uses an AST, an abstract syntax tray parser, to literally read your actual source files or your CSS.
Wait, it physically parses your local files?
Yes. It physically extracts the exact hex codes, spacing variables, typography rules, and feeds those back into the LLM as immutable hard constraints.
Okay, that is super clever. It brings engineering precision to aesthetic choices.
Exactly. No more guessing hex codes.
Well, engineering precision sounds great in theory, but any developer knows the real test is whether the output is actually usable in a production environment.
Talk is cheap. Show me the code. Right.
Exactly. And the team at Popular A-Tools ran 3 head-to-head tests to see if this terminal skill could actually match the $1 million GUI.
And the results were super interesting.
Let's get into them. Test number 1 was building from scratch. They asked both tools to build a lighthouse landing page for a fictional sauce analytics platform, specifically designed for solo developers.
Right. And Claude Design handled this exactly how you'd expect a premium tool to behave.
Flawlessly.
Yeah, pretty much. It asked detailed conversational questions, it offered visual direction options, and it delivered 3 absolutely beautiful variants.
Let me guess, a light mode, a dark mode.
Actually, it produced a terminal look, an editorial look, and a spatial look.
Oh, very cool.
And the workflow was seamless. It utilized that intuitive GUI tweak panel so you could just click and swap light and dark modes instantly.
Okay, but what was the damage to the quota?
Right. The cost for that smooth experience was 15% of the weekly quota.
Ouch. Okay, so then it was Huashu Design's turn in the terminal. Without a graphical interface, how did it even start?
It asked 6 highly structured text questions to narrow down the vibe. It targeted the buyer persona, the content structure, and the necessary sections.
That's glaring.
Extremely. And then it just generated the raw HTML. It produced 3 comparable variants, too. A ledger style, a terminal style, and a paper style.
But it doesn't have a GUI tweak panel. So how do you preview the variants?
This is the genius part. It built an HTML variant selector straight into the code itself.
Huh. It built its own UI in the output. That's hilarious. What was the token cost?
170,000 standard tokens.
Which translates to what in terms of the quota?
On the 20X plan, that is less than 1% of the weekly quota.
Less than 1%. Okay, but what about the actual quality? Was it 1% of the quality?
Not at all. The quality gap between the two was shockingly small. Yeah. Claude Design's output definitely had slightly more polish. You know, the CSS gradients were a bit smoother out of the box. The default spacing was a touch more refined.
Sure, it's a dedicated design AI.
Right. However, Washu's HTML was fully responsive, clean, structurally sound, and highly professional.
So let me do the math here. You are looking at a 15x reduction in usage cost for an output that is perhaps, what, 5% less polished?
Exactly. And honestly, most developers will make that trade-off without a second thought.
Absolutely. Okay, so we know it can build a raw page from scratch, but any developer knows the real nightmare isn't the first page.
Oh, no, it's the second page.
Right, it's matching the corporate design system you already have. Mm. How does a terminal app handle a pre-existing UI library?
This was test 2, and it definitely raised the stakes.
So both tools were given an existing agentic OS dashboard aesthetic, and they were told to make the new Lighthouse landing page match that exact visual identity.
Now, Claude Design has a massive advantage here.
Because of the native GUI, I'm assuming.
Because it features a dedicated native design system extractor.
Wow.
Yeah, it natively ingested the reference system and recreated a dashboard section within the new landing page that matched the reference almost pixel for pixel.
Pixel for pixel, that's impressive. How long did that take?
It took about 3 minutes.
Wow. Okay, but I'm waiting for the catch.
The penalty is the cost. Natively extracting and locking in that design system consumes 30% of your quota.
30%?
Mm-hmm.
For one design system extraction. That is so painful. Okay, how did Washu handle it?
Well, Washu Design took 11 minutes to process the same request.
Okay, significantly slower.
And it cost 70,000 tokens. Also, to be fair, it didn't fully recreate the specific dashboard UI elements like Claude did.
Oh, it didn't. What did it do?
Instead, it produced a landing page that clearly belonged to the exact same design family.
Ah, I see. But I really want to zero in on how it actually achieved this. Because like you said, it doesn't have a native design system feature.
Right. And this is where that brand asset protocol we talked about does the heavy lifting.
The AST parser thing.
Exactly. Washu parsed the reference files and essentially built a matching design system on the fly.
In the background.
Yep. It extracted the visual language, the exact border radiuses, the shadow depths, the color palette right through the terminal. It compiled it into a temporary set of rules and applied it dynamically to the new page generation.
That is wild. It replicated a heavy, expensive native feature using pure logic and context window management.
It really shows the power of smart prompt engineering and local file access.
Okay, so that brings us to the final hurdle. Test 3 was about reusability.
The pitch deck.
Right. They needed a pitch deck for the Lighthouse product, utilizing the design system they just extracted in test 2.
Claude Design was flawless here. It generated perfect slides for about 6% of the quota.
Flawless is a strong word.
The reviewer said it was basically ready to present.
Okay, fair enough. And Washu?
Washu Design produced a comparable aesthetic for around 50,000 tokens, but it encountered a slight hiccup.
Let me guess, layout issues.
Yeah, there was some minor text overlapping on 2 of the slides.
Classic CSS.
Always. And because you are in a terminal, you can't just click and drag the text box to fix it.
Right. You don't have a mouse pointer for the canvas.
Exactly. You have to issue a quick follow-up prompt to correct the CSS overlapping. But visually, once fixed, it completely held its own.
Okay. So synthesizing the math across all 3 tests, the landing page, the design system extraction, and the pitch deck, you are getting basically 80 to 90% of Claude Design's native quality.
Easily.
But you are only spending 1 to 5% of the usage cost.
The ROI is just insane.
For a solo developer, that math is impossible to ignore. I mean, you are trading a tiny bit of polish and maybe an extra prompt to fix an overlapping div in exchange for absolute freedom from the quota.
It fundamentally shifts the entire value proposition, but You know, we can't just view WashU design as a budget clone.
What do you mean?
It actually brings entirely new capabilities to the table that the premium expensive tool completely lacks.
Oh, right. The superpowers. I am a massive automation geek, so the Playwright integration blew my mind when I read the source.
It is so cool.
Because when an AI generates a prototype, the biggest problem is that it's usually just a visual facade.
Oh, yeah. A facade is the perfect word.
It paints a picture of a button, but you don't know if the state management actually works until you manually test it. But WashU doesn't just build the page. It autonomously spins up Playwright.
Right. So instead of you having to write the end-to-end tests yourself, WashU spins up a headless browser in the background.
On its own.
On its own. It physically targets the DOM elements of the prototype it just built, clicks the buttons, toggles the menus, and verifies the interactive states without any human intervention.
That is just sci-fi.
It ensures the prototype is genuinely interactive and functional. It's basically the difference between looking at a blueprint and walking through a fully framed house.
Unbelievable. And what about motion design? I read in the article that WashU can export 60 frames per second MP4s and GIFs. How on earth is a text-based terminal compiling video files?
I know, it sounds impossible, but it basically leverages code-driven motion libraries and orchestrates FFmpeg logic in the background.
Okay, so it's scripting FFmpeg.
Yep. It writes the animation sequences in code, executes a headless capture, and compiles it into an MP4 or GIF. It even supports background music.
Claude Design simply cannot do that natively.
Not even close. Furthermore, WashU includes this really cool five-dimension design critique system.
A critique system? Like it grades itself.
Exactly. It doesn't just hand you a design. It evaluates its own work against usability heuristics. It generates these radar charts that grade the design and provide an analytical breakdown of why certain layout choices were made or what might be missing.
Man, having an AI justify its UX decisions is wildly useful.
It really is.
We have to keep this balance, though. We've been praising WashU a lot. Where does Claude Design still hold the crown? Like, if you have an unlimited budget, why would you stay with the UI?
Honestly, Claude Design absolutely dominates in a collaborative team environment.
Oh, right. Multiplayer mode.
Exactly. If you need to visually click an element on the screen, draw a circle around it, and leave a spatial comment for your coworker, WashU cannot help you.
The terminal is a lonely place.
It is. The native graphic interface of Claude Design is unbeatable for multiplayer workflows. Also, Claude is undeniably faster.
True. 3 minutes versus 11 minutes for that design system test is a significant difference.
Especially if you are iterating live on a call with a client. Additionally, Claude's native design systems persist across projects seamlessly. You don't need to dynamically reparse files every single time.
So if we break down the final verdict for you, the listener, the dividing line is actually really clear.
I think so, yeah.
If you work in a corporate team, if your company is footing the bill for the massive API plans, and you require persistent shared visual workspaces where you can physically point to things on a screen stick to Claude Design.
Absolutely. It commands a premium because it solves enterprise collaborations seamlessly.
On the flip side, if you are a solo developer or a freelancer, if you are the kind of builder who prototypes three entirely different ideas before launch just to see what sticks,
Claude Design's limits will suffocate your workflow.
Totally suffocate it. WashU Design is the clear winner for individual velocity. It completely removes the usage ceiling and integrates directly into the terminal where you are already writing your logic anyway.
It's just a highly practical blueprint for bypassing heavy AI usage bottlenecks.
It really is. You drop this brilliant free open source skill file into your terminal, and suddenly you have a senior designer living directly inside your code editor, operating at standard cheap token rates.
It entirely democratizes high-end design capability.
It does. And that brings me to a final thought I want you, the listener, to chew on today.
Oh, this is the big question.
Look at the timeline here. WashU Design reverse engineered the core design philosophy of a heavily funded corporate tool.
Mm-hmm.
It packaged that logic into a portable markdown-based skill file. And it did it in just 3 days.
3 days to unpack millions of dollars of proprietary R&D.
Exactly. If an individual developer can extract the underlying logic of a massive GUI, give it away for free, and let it run in any terminal, what does this mean for the future of software moats?
It's a scary thought for SaaS founders.
Right. Are we entering an era where expensive graphical interfaces are just temporary wrappers waiting to be quickly open sourced into incredibly cheap text-based agent skills?
It definitely seems like that's the direction we're heading.
Is the ultimate value of software going to live in the interface? Or is the interface dead, replaced entirely by portable logic?
That is the million-dollar question.
Until the industry figures out the answer, don't let anyone put a one-gallon limit on your gas tank.
Seriously.
Keep building, keep prototyping. Thanks for taking this deep dive with us.